Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Going to be a year of harvest. So I want to take us to Chronicles, which is kind of the scripture over our year. 1 Chronicles 16:23 to 27. And then we're going to go to the Gospel of Mark, and I've got a short message. It'll only be about 3 hours, and then we're going to go. I promise, 3 hours. And so 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 23 to 27 in the message says, "Sing to God, everyone and everything." And I was saying the other day, that word sing in the Latin, the Greek, the Hebrew, you know what it means? Sing. Sing. Let your voice be heard. Don't let the rocks cry out. Amen. Don't let the rocks cry out. People are so loud about everything. I mean, people are loud about the amphibious morsel, whatever it was called. Morsel. People are loud about all sorts of stuff. But why shouldn't the church sing with a heart full of gratitude? Boldness, confidence at the goodness of God. Sing to God, everyone and everything. Get out his salvation news every day. Don't hide that salvation news. How good was it hearing Jeff Cooper's story last week? Come on, church, give it up for Jeff. If you didn't hear it, go to our YouTube, the YouTube, go to C3SYD. Look up our vision for last week, for the year. Really want you to make sure you've heard that so you can hear it. But that's that salvation news. Publish his glory among the godless nations, his wonders to all races and religions. And why? Because God is pretty good. God is what? Great. And well worth praising. Like Simone said, well worth laying our finances down for. Well worth serving. Well worth. And you know, here in our Northern Beaches location, I want you to know, we're not doing it like the Northern Beaches do it. We're not doing this apathy thing. We're not doing this, we'll see how we go. We are well, God is well worth praising. And we want to give him our best. Then it goes on and says, "No god or goddess comes close in honor. All the popular gods are stuff and nonsense, but God made the cosmos. Splendor and majesty flow out of him. Strength and joy fill his place." And I do believe God is filling your heart, filling your home, and filling our church with strength and joy this year. Joy, the joy of salvation. The joy of salvation. For some of us, you were saved many years ago, and I believe the joy of your salvation is going to be front and center in your life this year. So, amen? Let's go to the Gospel of Mark. I want to go down to Mark, the Gospel according to Mark, not according to Mark Saundercock. That would be awesome. That would be a fun gospel. yeah, that would be awesome. But Mark 2, 14 to 17, starting in verse 13, actually, it says, "He went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, 'Follow me.' And he rose, being Levi, a.k.a. Matthew, and followed him. And as he reclined at a table in his house, Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him." Verse 16. "And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, 'Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?'" Verse 17, "And Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners.'" And quickly, look at this scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 20. It says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, Paul writing to the Corinthian church, he is a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God through Christ, reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20, catch this. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. You know, what's amazing about this passage of scripture in the gospel according to Mark is that Jesus is eating with sinners and tax collectors, and this is a common scene, this is a common situation, this is a common context and environment that Jesus was in. In Matthew 11, 18 to 19, it says about Jesus, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. Tim Chester, author and pastor, states Jesus' mission strategy was a long meal stretching into the evening. He did evangelism and discipleship around a table over some grilled fish. Can I get an amen today? And some gluten, a loaf of bread. Amen. And a pitcher of wine. Robert Karras, author and pastor, states in Luke's gospel, Jesus is either going to a meal, at a meal, or coming from a meal. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you love him? Don't you know eternity is just going to be a big meal? It's going to be the best. But Jesus was reclining. He was sitting with sinners and tax collectors. Now, tax collectors, they worked for the government, but you got to remember the government was an oppressive Roman Empire. So from the get-go, tax collectors were not popular. But not only were they getting funds for the government, they would get some funds for themselves as well. And so amongst the Jewish community, they were very unpopular. So Jesus is sitting with the biggest outcasts of society called tax collectors and sinners. Sinners were people who didn't live according to the law. And so they all also were rejected and ostracized. And here is Jesus sitting and eating with these people in an intimate way to have a meal, to sit down and share conversation. And they were not repelled by him. They were drawn to him. They were not pushed away by him. They were drawn to him. Though he never compromised his character. He never lost his identity. He never lowered his standards, yet those that were far were always brought near by Jesus. This is the gospel. And my heart for you today, if you feel far from God, is you would see that God is near. And if you feel far from God today, in just a moment, there's an opportunity for you to say, God, I want to draw near. I want to come near to you. Because the Pharisees, you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to keep people that were far, far. That's why they couldn't understand Jesus. The Pharisees lived by the law, but they didn't live just by the law because there's actually no problem with the law. God made the law. You know that. God made the law. And the law was never the end game. The law was a tool, but it was never the solution. The law was there to highlight our sin, highlight our need for God, highlight our need for grace. But it was never a wrong thing. Jesus came to not get rid of the law, but to fulfill the law. But the Pharisees, they weren't just living by the law. They were adding rules and regulations on top, extra traditions for people to live by. And so sinners were people that were rejected by them because they were not heeding their religious practices. But Jesus came to mess that all up. If you think Jesus is just, you know, neat and tidy, I mean, you need to meet Jesus in a new way because he came and he was not just nice. I mean, I'm sure he's nice. I'm sure if you met Jesus, you know, when we're in eternity, we're having a meal with Jesus, I'm sure he'd be like, oh, nice guy. But he came to confront things. He came to change the paradigm of what it looks like to know God. He came to bridge the gap between those that were far to bring them near. And Paul said it like this to the church in Ephesus. He said in 2:13 in Ephesians, he said, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God that he brought me near. I'm so thankful to God that I once was far and now I'm near. And that's the only difference. If you know God, it's not because you're better than anybody. It's just the fact is that God has brought you near through the great work and the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And the way Jesus brought people near that was a precursor to the cross was a meal. It was a meal. He would sit down and eat a meal. You know, the table was a place of blessing and abundance and miracles. The wedding at Cana in John 2, feeding the 5,000 in Luke 9. The table, the place of eating and fellowship, was a place of forgiveness and salvation. Matthew the tax collector, we're reading about it now. In Luke 5, you read more. Zacchaeus in Luke 19. The table was a place of restoration. Peter, if you love me, 3 times Jesus restored Peter. Over a grilled fish, over a meal, he restored him to ministry. The table was a place of hard conversations and correction. Jesus would sit down with Pharisees and talk and have conversation with them. The table was a place of healing and wisdom in discouragement. You know, the road to Emmaus, Jesus has died. He's now resurrected. And the disciples are walking down the road to Emmaus, the road of Emmaus, to Emmaus. Shut up. And so it's seven-mile journey. And so they're walking and they're with this guy and they're talking to him. They don't realize who he is. But do you know when they realized who he was? Do you know the moment they went, oh, look at this. Luke 24, verse 30. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him at the table. The table was a central part of the early church, Acts 2, 46 to 47, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread. There's a lot of bread in the Bible, isn't there? In their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord, just like God is doing in our church right now, the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. There's a great book by a lady called Christine Pohl. She's a theologian. The book is called Making Room. And it says, it's called Recovering Hospitality as a Christian Tradition. And she says this, a shared meal is the activity most closely tied to the reality of God's kingdom, just as it is the most basic expression of hospitality. If table fellowship is a spiritual discipline that is vital for shaping and sustaining our life with God for the world, we need to make a point to share our tables with people who are in our lives but far from God. This is one of the most distinctive aspects of Jesus's ministry. And you know, this is how our church started. Pastor Phil and Pastor Chris would eat with people, have them in their home. This is what it's all about. Just this week on my Friday, Friday's our day off, and it's our Sabbath, and I was with Oaks. We were in Newport. We went to a sushi bar, shop, whatever restaurant, and we went down there, and I saw a gentleman who's kind of new to our church, and he's on a great journey with God, and I saw him there eating his sushi. And so when I saw him there, I thought, quick, how can I get out of here? Yes, oh God, it's my day off, you know. But I felt the Lord say, go over and sit with him. All right. So I grab Oaks. We got our sushi. I got takeaway sushi, but it turned into eat-in. And so I went down. I sat down with him. He was eating. He's by himself. He was eating his meal. We came and sat down, and we had the best conversation ever about God. And I want to encourage you, what God can do in little moments, Not just in big moments, but in little moments where we allow our lives to be interrupted, where we allow our homes to be open to those who are far from God. And we want you to know today, if you feel far from God, we're here for you. We're here for you. The church exists for people that feel far from God to know that God is actually near. That's why we're here. We're not here for ourselves. Come on, church. We're not here to have our own happy club. We're here for the harvest. And we're here to be in the middle of the harvest. If you looked at Jesus' life when he walked the earth, he was always smack bang in the middle of the harvest. Never escaping, never avoiding. He would have times of prayer, but he would reposition himself amongst the harvest. And this is what the call of God is on the church. Look at 2 Corinthians 5 again. Go down to verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. What did Jesus say in the Gospel of Mark? He said, I came not to just call the righteous, but to call the sinners. And can I tell you, that call from God to those who feel far from God continues today through the local church. Our role as the body of Christ is to continue to bring the appeal, the call of God to people's lives in our city, in this city, in every area of this city, to help those that feel far draw near. And this is the purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit on our lives. Acts 1 verse 8, but you receive power. Worship team, you could join me now. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be what? My witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the power of the Holy Spirit isn't just to make us feel nice. It's to make us a witness. It's that we go out and we help people see that God is near. Oh, there's the keys. Give it up for Simeon. I loved it. Very subtle. I love you, brother. Nice haircut, by the way. Sharp. You know, like, as a follower of Jesus, can I just tell you this? We have a tension. We have a tension we have to live in. Because Jesus said this, remain in me and I'll remain in you. John 15. You know that scripture? Remain in me and I'll remain in you and you'll bear much fruit. So on one hand, we are to remain. But then in Matthew 28, he said to the disciples, go into all the world and make disciples. It was the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, the Great Commission. And so we live in the tension of remaining and yet going. And so the mission for every believer, look at me, look at me. Forget the bed, look at me. The mission for the church is to stay in Christ, but go into the world. And can I tell you, yeah, the world is crazy. I mean, yeah, the world is crazy. Like, it's crazy. Can I get an amen today? No, it's crazy. Totally. But you know, every generation has thought Jesus is coming back really soon. You know that. And that would be true because the church gets lighter and lighter and the world gets darker and darker. So we should always be on the edge of our seat, ready for Jesus to return. Amen. Amen. He is coming back. It's not like a joke. He actually is coming back. But we don't know the timing, but we must be ready. We must go into the world. So just because the world is crazy doesn't mean we run away from it. Don't run from the world. We're not here to escape the world. Christianity is not escapism. Christianity is in Christ, I am solid. In Christ, I am covered. In Christ, I am whole. In Christ, I am healed. In Christ, I'm empowered. In Christ, I've got grace and truth. I've got the word, and I'm not compromising. I'm not bowing. I'm not being pushed. I'm solid. However, I'm not here just to protect what I've got. I'm here to go into all the world. I'm here to go to my family, go to my workplace. This is the call of God on the church to be just like Jesus, to go to those that are far and bring them near. Hey, bring me that jar. Bring me that jar. Yeah, bring me that jar. Thank you, Chloe. This is a heavy jar. Last week, we got a whole bunch of cards and we wrote all these names on these cards. And you took one home and you left one here. And there are probably 2 to 5 names on each one of these cards. There would literally be hundreds of names right here. Our location pastor team, just the other day, we came up with a list of 29 people that we are reaching out to. 29, Jesse, you know that number? 29, actually. 29 people that we are reaching out to this year. In our connect group, we just went around the circle on Wednesday. It was so good. And we've just prayed for one person that's on the card. Can I tell you, there are amazing things happening. They're incredible stories, but it's because of prayer. It's because of intentionality. It's not because we're trying to just do our own little thing in the corner. That is not what we're trying to do here. We are trying to position ourselves in the middle of the harvest. You know, just last week, I prayed for a guy. He said to me, I've never experienced the presence of God before. And tonight I did. You know, I've been praying for my neighbors, been believing God for them. I connected with this one guy, Paul, who's from the UK. And I've told this story before, but after the Christmas Eve service, he came to me after the message and he said, you know what? I realized I'm good. I said, yeah. What do you mean? He said, I'm good. I mean, everything he said, tick, tick, tick. I was like, wow, I love your confidence. And I said, you know, but what happens? Like, what do you think about death? You know, what happens when you die? He says, well, I guess if you're good, you go to the good place. If you're bad, you know. I said, so have you never been bad before? He said, oh, no, I have. But I'm pretty good. And so my good probably outweighs my bad. And I said, that's amazing, man. Is that kind of what you believe Christianity is? He's like, totally. I said, this is awesome, bro. Can I share a couple of little thoughts? I want you to know that that's actually not the gospel. There'll be people who live a bad life their whole life. And they will repent in the last moment and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And they will be in paradise. They will be in eternity. Because it's not about how good or bad you are. It's how good Jesus is and what he has done on the cross. Yeah, this is the gospel. And I don't change my life to get Jesus in my life. I get Jesus in my life and he changes me. That's the order. And the world says, you know, you got to do this and you got to stop partying and you got to stop having fun. You got to stop this and stop that. That is not the gospel. The gospel is come to Jesus. If you're far, come near and let him, by the work of grace and truth, transform you. Let the gospel do its work in your life. And that's what we're here for as the church. So we're going to pray and we're going to reach out and we're going to love on people and we're going to open up our homes. And you know what? It's going to get really uncomfortable. You're going to connect with people that aren't like you. You're going to have people in your world that are from a background that shocks you even. But we were here to help them come near, not to keep them distant. Tell them, draw near, and we need to open up our lives. This is the gospel, and this is the call of God on the church.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.